Welcome to Drive Time, our UCLA Anderson fully employed MBA podcast. I'm Dylan Stafford, your host. We want you to meet some of the great women and men of FEMBA to share in their success and see the impact of their MBA. Today's interview is with Amy Miller, FEMBA class of 2016. When I first met Amy pre-MBA, she was wondering, should I get an MBA? Is this for me? Amy had studied religion in undergrad and is the mother of four. She was co-running a family business and she was wondering, is the MBA worth the time, the effort? How will it really help my family business? Well now, post-FEMBA, Amy is the CEO of a woman-owned business, Lester Lithograph, which is rapidly expanding and she's not wondering anymore, as you'll hear when she shares how FEMBA gave her a voice in business that she didn't have before, as well as an invigorated sense of confidence. You'll hear about her global experiences from Barcelona to Vienna and Prague and Brazil, and how she ultimately earned a certificate in global management. You'll hear about her experience in the Flex curriculum and her FEMBesties, new best friends she's made here. Amy ends her podcast with advice, great advice for anyone embarking on their MBA journey. We hope you enjoy meeting Amy Miller, UCLA Anderson, FEMBA class of 2016. Why don't we just start with your background? Why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
So I went to Pepperdine for my undergrad, majored in religion. So going to business school is a little bit of a departure from that. Got married 23 years ago, actually.
Congratulations.
So thank you. And we have four children. The oldest is already teaching English in Korea after finishing her bachelor's degree. And then we have one in college in Minnesota, one in the Army, and one still at home. So
Oh my gosh, you're almost an empty nester.
Almost, yeah. And so as they grew and started graduating and leaving home, I started spending more and more time at the family business. So I came in at a part-time level to begin with. And again, as time went by, started taking on projects on a consulting type basis, marketing focused, and started to see some good results and thought maybe it's time to step it up to get some more formal training after all these years of being outside of the business world. And so that is when I started checking out different MBA programs, and UCLA was the one I was passionate about. It was like a quickening for me. I had to be here.
So. Oh my goodness. Well, let's tell more about that, because you could have gone back to your alma mater, Pepperdine. Grazadio is a great program. Right. What did you hear in the UCLA program that called to you?
Well, it's a spirit of the place. It's the camaraderie, the collaboration. Mm. Dean Olien said it best, I think, in a later conversation, that we help each other. Mm. We do rise to the top, but we help each other to get there. And I liked that a lot.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, Dean Olien, I love it when she articulates the three pillars and she talks about sharing success. And she says, you know, we're not sharp elbows and pointy knees. And I love that, you know, because we're a top tier school and there's an expectation that, you know, it's going to be uber competitive. And she's really saying, no, we're kind of the best of California, that work hard, play hard, everybody win type atmosphere.
Yeah, and I did find that here.
Oh, okay.
It was a friendly competition. Mm-hmm. We do have a top tier education, as you mentioned, and the classmates I was sitting with, I was humbled and amazed to be sitting in class with all these brilliant, successful people, and so grateful to have the experience, but we supported each other all the way through as well. So it is the best of both.
Mm, excellent. Oh, I love it. Well, let's see. And our listeners want to know, so what section did you choose and why did you choose your section?
I chose Flex. So even though I do live in LA County, I live on the far end of LA County, and to mitigate the traffic and the driving to the office from home and then driving to campus, I chose the Flex option, and that was a great fit for me. It's a very self-directed program in some regards, because you do watch the videos, you know, the lectures at home, but it was great for me because I could watch it at 5 a.m. if I wanted to, or 11 at night if I needed to, and so there was just that flexibility that I needed, and yeah, it formed a really great fit. There's enough on campus time where I felt like I really got to know the professors. I was really challenged, and got to know my classmates as well. But then enough time away from campus to really dig in and spend the time I needed to on the lectures. So for example, because I was a religion major, I didn't have much finance or accounting background.
Not a whole lot.
No.
Yes.
And so I was able to rewatch those portions of the videos that I needed to really dive deeper into at my own pace.
Yeah, I love that idea. I hear so many times the very simple act of being able to rewind. I hear Flex students just say, you don't know how great that is, just to Hit that again. Oh, okay. Now I got it.
Right. And yet the professors were so responsive. So if I ever had extra questions, they were very available via email. They were willing to set up office hours for times when we flexors were on campus. So again, best of both. Very flexible and yet very accessible.
And I guess, yeah, there's only a third of the flex students in LA County. Two thirds are out of the county. So you're the minority in flex by being local, which is kind of backwards, I guess, to one way to look at it. Mm-hmm. And then one of the things that some of the new students have asked for the podcasts is, you know, what about study habits? So, you know, for you, for a couple of reasons, you've been out of school for a bit. Mm-hmm. This is new material, mm-hmm. religion to business. And then you're even more avant-garde because you're in kind of a more modern delivery, right? There was no hybrid religion delivered at Pepperdine,
right.
You know? So how did you go about setting new habits for yourself? How did you decide what was going to work for you? What was too much? What was too little? What did your sort of your week look like that first mm-hmm. quarter, the first year as you were transitioning back to school? Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, I liked being one of the pioneers. It wasn't the first year of Flex, but it's pretty close.
Well, you were the second year. Yeah. 16.
And I liked that innovation. There was an excitement about that for me as we were helping figure it out and working with the director of the hybrid program. And I like that. So that was exciting to me and added something extra for me personally. Mm-hmm. As far as the day to day, the week to week, I had a learning curve. Mm. I did. I had a learning curve. It was quite a bit to take on at first. Statistics.
Mm-hmm. Quarter one.
Econ. You know, those classes that are just core and very essential to the program and yet challenging for me. I did have to set a boundary for myself. I found myself burning my candle at both ends.
Yeah.
And trying to get it all done. So I did have to let a few things go in my professional career just so that I could balance it out. I did. This is just nuts and bolts of it. But I did have to make sure I turned everything off by 11 p.m. and didn't turn anything on before 6 a.m. I had some struggles in one of the quarters and just realized that with what was going on in my family at the time, with the busyness at work and with the challenge of the academics, I just had to get more sleep. I mean,
yeah.
Practically. And that has served me well. Studying less and sleeping more, oddly enough, was a really good fit for me and necessary. And it's the same thing I would have told my children if I had been observing them from the outside. But it took me struggling and stumbling a little bit firsthand to know, okay, that is wise advice.
Well, that's true. Yeah, because you're in the process of getting 3 of 4 through college by this point. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, okay. Take the advice I would have given my kids.
Exactly.
Excellent. Okay.
But it is doable. You just, you know, like anything else, you just put it in your calendar. You divide it up into bite-sized pieces as much as possible and lean on groups for the group project. You don't have to do it all yourself. These people are geniuses, I will say.
Good.
And so we work together on those group projects, and it does all work out. It really does.
Fantastic. Did you ever measure like hours per week? Because a lot of times people say, how many hours a week is this? Did you ever think about it like that? Or did you just kind of...
Not so much. I mean, it would vary.
Yeah.
So particularly the classes that were a more natural fit for me, I didn't have to spend as much time. But, you know, I had to dig in on some of those.
So class by class, quarter by quarter.
Yeah. It's hard to divide it up evenly.
And then so our listeners know, you choose a schedule that's your first year and a quarter, and that's either all day Saturday, flex, or Tuesday, Thursday. But then when the second half of the program rolls around, it's you choose your classes quarter by quarter, independent of what you had chosen for core. So did you take any sort of the traditional 100% on campus electives?
Yeah. And because I live and work close enough, I was able to do that. Good flexibility there. Did choose some flex electives, just again for that same convenience factor, but I wanted to invest in a little bit of everything. I wanted to have the experience. So mm-hmm. that was a good fit for me, you know, to be able to come week after week for some things, but then to have the option to choose some flex. It was good for me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, I want to talk about your international experience. I definitely want to talk about your leadership experience. And then I want to hear about how you're growing your business. So Why don't we start with some of your international, because you went a lot of places and you earned the certificate in global management. So why don't you walk people through what your choices were, which and when you chose to go. You did both our global immersions and one of our exchanges.
Right.
So let's talk about some of the international international experience you had.
Sure. So I started out after the first year going to Barcelona, and that was the exchange. And it was the classes that were interesting to me. So I thought, well, it's summer. Let's just try it and see. And it actually led to something really great. So the class I took was family business class. And I was able to take some of the lessons I learned there, apply them directly to my business when I got home. And that led the following summer to a Family Business of the Year award in Orange County. So it was directly applicable, not only fun, delicious food, great time with, you know, classmates and family, but it turned into something really practical and good for our business. So that was the exchange.
And let me just, I didn't probably set up our listeners mm-hmm. fully. So Lester Lithograph was your employer when you came in, and that is a family business.
Right.
And you have since, your company has now acquired Castle Press, correct, which is actually the press here at UCLA that produces much of our literature and much of our collateral. So I just didn't tell people that you actually had the family business entrepreneurial starting point as you came into,
correct,
FEMBA. Okay.
Correct.
So that was just a total synergy that you got to go abroad and have that specific applicability. And then that led to your Orange County Family Business of the Year Award.
Correct.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Go Anderson.
Really?
Go
exciting.
Amy.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So the next international experience I had was the Vienna Prague immersion trip. So that was a whole class of us going together, visiting businesses and taking class together. And that was a wonderful experience as well. And then this spring, over spring break, I went to the Brazil immersion.
Wow. And was Brazil just on fire with the pre-Olympic hype?
It's a madhouse over there.
Yeah, it's probably a madhouse always.
That's fair to say, with the impeachment proceedings of Dilma Rousseff and the Olympic brouhaha and Petrobras, all those exciting things happening. So yeah, it was a bit of a wild ride. We had a great time and we learned a lot.
Mm. And who were your faculty? So who was Vienna and Prague? I forget which professor.
Zeithammer.
Oh, that was Zeithammer. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Brazil was
Sussman.
Eric Sussman, all of our faculty are awesome, but yes, okay. So the difference in, for people who don't understand, the difference between our global immersions, Anderson faculty travel with, mm-hmm. and the accommodations are a little nicer, you're in hotels, et cetera, there's a surcharge for that. Mm-hmm. With our exchanges, you're being taught in country by professors from the other
at
university.
At a school in that, in that.
And the accommodations were more dormitory.
On our own.
So you could set it up as you wanted. Okay, so for Barcelona, your first of three, that was, I gotta get the name right, that was an exchange, and then the second two were global immersions.
Correct.
Wow. And then all of these were the 1 week format. Did you stay a little, did you
of
go
course.
Early and stay late?
Of course.
Good. So any exciting
story? We might as well, you know.
Any good intercultural moments from any of the three that
you? Always. In every place, there's always something great. So in Barcelona, our youngest son and my husband met me over there.
Oh, nice.
And we were able to travel around and, you know, see the sights of Barcelona. Vienna, Prague, they also came, and they came after the immersion. I would recommend that. It's just a full-time week when you're there in class. So they met me there afterward, and we traveled on down to Munich for Oktoberfest.
Oh, you did? Oh.
Yep, we wore the traditional garb and the whole bit. I mean, immersed. We did. We immersed. And then in Brazil, I traveled with a couple of classmates before the trip to some very famous waterfalls and just saw as much as we could of nature down there.
So, well, and it is, if we're all the way around the world, let's take advantage of it.
Right.
Oh, that's wonderful. And now let's see. Okay. So that's three experiences. And then let's talk about your global access program. So you were matched. So I love this story. It was a Swedish company that was a husband and wife corporation about the same size as Lester Lithograph at the time. So again, sort of, now, did you know that before you chose the company knowing that, or was that happy accident?
We knew some about the country. There's a bio that all the teams get. So during the bidding process for the Gap company that you might be matched with, you have a rough outline of what's going on. But once we met face to face, I knew these would be our friends, right? So this is a great match. They have children a little bit younger than my own, but working with husband and wife team, you know, there's certain nuances that go along with that kind of form recommendations that our team would make, maybe in a more unique way than some of the other teams. And so I was able to come at that from firsthand experience. with the family dynamic that goes into having a business together.
And what is their business? What
industry? It's a clean water tech business.
Oh, interesting.
Right. And so it is an amazing invention, amazing technology, and they're applying it in many countries nearby, Norway, Germany, etc., you know, branching outside of Sweden, but helping them think through the implications of what it would look like to start a business in the U.S.
Oh, they wanted to come
with
here.
Their family, you know, who's going to come over here and work? Will it be the husband? Will it be the brother-in-law, etc.? So, you know, just those family issues that come up.
And you kind of started the program thinking that you were going to focus on marketing when we talked earlier.
Correct.
And yet you've now got this sort of entrepreneurial international perspective in addition to marketing.
Right. So we help companies with their marketing. So I thought that would be a really good add-on. Mm-hmm. You know, let's learn about marketing so we can further help our clients, which I have done. But my main focus has been global management. So with an international flair, taking global economics and emerging markets and classes that would help me focus more on growth in international areas. And that was a surprise serendipity for me, you know, just my interest in travel, my interest in helping other people in other countries, was able to really be explored. And I feel like I have a good foundation now for doing business in other countries and with other countries.
Well, I love that. And you quoted Dean Olien earlier. One of the quotes that I've heard her say that I love is, "Global brains. We want our students to have global brains." Mm-hmm. And she's always given the deans who run FEMBA and EMBA, she's always given so much green light to create these global immersions. Mm-hmm. To, you know, we're the first part-time program to have the exchanges. And, you know, being from Australia originally, I think Dean Olien just gets it. And she spends so much time talking to alumni around the world. And it is such a small world, and we are so interdependent. But to raise your own comfort level, to have a voice and have a, you know, have a recommendation. So take us through the kind of the conclusion of the 6 months of GAP as you were preparing your presentation. So you have a company, Sweden based. They've been expanding in, you know, to their southern neighbors. Now they're talking about going to the U.S. and, well, who's going to go? You or me, husband, wife, you know. So what was the recommendation? How did you all frame what you thought they should do next?
Well, they had already a really wonderful opportunity coming up for them in Germany. And we didn't go too deep into that because our focus was, what would it look like if we entered the U.S.?
Okay.
So we focused our project on that part of it, always with the thought in mind that if they did that, they may have to give up the Germany idea.
Mm.
So we were really able to talk them through some of those things and make some recommendations as to, you know, if you do enter the U.S., where would be the best place mm-hmm. to enter?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do enter, how and when, what kind of grid or framework should be in place to give you the best odds of success? So we focused on that, you know, just maybe growing the management team to support
mm-hmm.
a further international expansion, having a deeper bench, for example, try some things in Norway, open up a second branch because you're relatively close by and you can see what it feels like to be apart before making the grand investment so far away in the U.S. So those kinds of ideas. And it was so gratifying because before they even came for the final presentation, we have to turn in kind of a 95% plan.
Right.
And they see that. And so they're not totally, none of the executives is totally surprised by the recommendations when they get here, which is a good thing. But when we did meet with them in December, they admitted to us that they had started implementing some of our recommendations. And that just is so gratifying.
Nice.
To know that they're already seeing improvements before we've even given the final presentation. We're really grateful for that opportunity. It's
great.
Oh,
well, and I love the teams that stay connected to their executives years later.
Yeah.
I mean, GAP is not supposed to land people a job, but it does that occasionally. But more than a couple teams, you know, I hear them say, 18 months later, we're watching, we're following, you know, I just check out their progress to see. And as a program, we're creeping up on $500 million, so close to $500 million in investments made based on, you know, FEMBA program, FEMBA student recommendations.
Mm-hmm. And just to pivot it again onto the family side. So one of my teammates had his wife and their 5-year-old daughter along.
Ah.
And the family has a 5-year-old daughter. So they're friends. They just keep in touch. I had my daughter along, who's just a little bit older than the executive's twin daughters, and they're friends on Snapchat and Facebook, and they message each other back and forth. And so it's been fun to see just the friendship develop outside of business.
That is so. And Paul Brandano, the executive director who works with Professor Foster, he uses that phrase, a global ecosystem of innovation, which I just think is the sexiest phrase. My geek, you know, that's a sexy marketing geek phrase, right? A global ecosystem of innovation that Gap has now. That the government agencies who provide the companies who provide the interface between the government of Switzerland or Sweden or, you know, or Finland and UCLA. You know, they're helping us pre-screen the companies and you know, the faculty on our side know, you know, what the strengths of our student teams are. And then you get these auxiliary interdependencies and connections going. And there's going to be a lot of people who will provide pings back as time goes forward about, you know, these relationships. That's how you get business done. Mm-hmm. If you have to start with, do I trust you? Well, I like your children. You like my children. We've actually had dinner together, you know, that's a whole other thing than I saw your website.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So, and you did travel. So you went to Sweden?
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So there were two of us from the team of five who traveled.
And how does, because a lot of times people are just curious about the mechanics of Gap. Mm-hmm. Election, a lot of the 2017s who've been listening to the podcast say more about Gap.
Okay.
So how did you guys decide who would travel, who when, and how did you set that up?
Right. I was pretty passionate about traveling because I love the global experience. So as we were forming teams, I kind of softly threw it out there that it would be okay if I were one who were part of the team that gets to travel.
Okay, yeah, volunteer. Let people know.
Yeah, and some of those on my team could not travel for work or family-related reasons, and so they knew they did not want to travel. And so it kind of formed naturally.
Yeah.
You know, the second team member who traveled, it was kind of, you know, who should go? We're not really sure who can work it out with their schedules, and let's just kind of wait and see. And we were out to dinner with our executives when they came out for the initial meet and greet mm-hmm. and seminar in June, I believe it was. And as we were all out to dinner, kind of the decision was made that this is a good fit and he'll be the second member of our team to go. And it was exciting. We were all thrilled that that was going to work out, and it seemed like a great fit with the executives. And so it kind of went from there. So it wasn't a cut and dried, you know, these two or all five wanted to go. And now, you know, it was mm-hmm. nothing like that. It was a very natural decision-making process for us. There were teams who wanted, all of them wanted to travel, and they worked it out with their budget, subsidizing some from their own personal money. So there is a budget for each team, and there mm-hmm. are recommendations that are clearly laid out as far as travel. And so, you know, some teams navigated that differently than we did. But for us, it was a natural fit for the two of us to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's pivot the conversation a little bit into some of the leadership roles that you've had, because you were active in FEMBA Council, the Family Business Association, the newly forming Family
Correct.
Business Association. tell us a little bit about how did you choose your extracurricular participation?
I was slow to get involved, actually. Mm. I wanted to make sure that I could really handle the academics first before I stepped up in any of the clubs or anything like that. So I was actually late to the game as far as student council goes, but saw the need to help. It's particularly challenging being a flex student and being on student council. And, you know, it is an option for those of us who are not on campus to call in, but it's better to have someone actually there at the meeting. It just works better.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like our section can be better represented with someone right there in the room. So I saw the opportunity to help out in that way. And
being one of the LA County flexors.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. For
Correct.
Sure. To have that voice at the table.
Correct. Yeah. And yeah, so we went from there. And, mm-hmm. you know, being flex and being the social rep, by the time we're in our last year, some people have already finished because they've accelerated or done some summer programs. But just being there to help where I can, that was my motivation. That was why I really wanted to do it.
Typically, Dean Olien says at commencement, she says, you're not actually graduating today. You're commencing forth. And we're all of us commencing forth into a lifelong learning.
I do feel that. I hit send on that last paper just 2 days ago, and I feel this new, first of all, energy, but also this new wealth of free time that I kind of don't know how to fill, because this last quarter I took more than a full-time load.
Oh my goodness. So now, and these were all bonus classes.
Right. And so now the calendar is completely free.
Yes. Yes.
So I did order a couple books. So okay. I will be reading.
All right. Good.
This summer.
I love it. Okay, so we've talked about some of the international. We talked about your gap, a little bit about student leadership. So let's, you know, you walked in the door. One of the conversations we had was, should you do the executive MBA or the fully employed MBA? And you had the thought, well, I'm sort of part-time because I'm still, you know, I still have children, I still have a family. To my way of, that's a full-time life. And your, you know, the exposure you had and the leadership that you had in your company, to me, you for sure could have been in the executive MBA program. So tell us a little bit about what your thought was, why you wanted the 3-year model, kind of what, tell us about some of the wonderful things that have happened to your company, and then let's start to look, what do you see going forward with Rob? What are you guys, what's up next?
Sure.
So let's talk about kind of the career impact of all of the education that you've shared with us.
Okay, so when I first applied to Anderson, I had only been in our business for full time for about 6 years. As I mentioned, I started at part-time and project basis, and I really did not feel like I had the foundation in business that I even needed for the role I already had.
Mm.
I find myself sometimes in these positions where I'm not really qualified. I didn't want to feel like I was faking it at all.
Right, right.
And that was a great fit. At the beginning of the program, I looked around the classroom and saw, wow, these are very impressive people in my class, who some of them had PhDs in chemistry. Some of them already were accountants, were already financial analysts and advisors, wealth management specialists, and, you know, on the management track at Cisco or Google or, you know, these bigger companies. And here I am with my small family business. So to be in the MBA, the EMBA program, it would have been okay. But I think I was in the right place in the FEMBA program because the years of work experience maybe matched a little bit more, even though my years age-wise may have matched in the EMBA program better. So it formed a really good fit that way. The 3-year program, good for me as well, because just my work schedule, my family schedule, not being here Friday and Saturday was a better fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it has worked out beautifully, I think.
Well, and you got to travel more with FEMBA.
That's,
you know, that the you know, oftentimes people who are qualified for EMBA but rather choose FEMBA, it is the Friday off that can be a sticking point, or, you know, to really just have more time to explore, because you do just actually take more units. Mm-hmm. Because it's a longer delivery of the program. Well, like I said at the outset, well, we were thrilled to have you. So and now, so tell me about, like, what does it feel like your seat at the table now? You know, because it's so funny because you're from Pepperdine, and Katie Kruger Davis was from Pepperdine, and she talked about reading Lean In and the imposter syndrome, and she really spent some time in our podcast talking about, you know, like, really as a modern professional, fully earned right to be there, female at the table.
Right.
And I think there's a human element too, but like I have my MBA, you know, I know what the heck I'm talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about the transition from a religion studies background, working part-time family business, to now you guys have had an acquisition, you're looking at another one.
Sure. So I do feel qualified to be the CEO of a woman-owned business, which is what I am now. The stock has been transferred. It's official. And so that's a new role for me. And I feel like I have a voice not only in our own company, but now in the industry. So print industry executives are relying on us for our insight. And I'm just pulling out my notes from all my great classes and leaning on that experience that I've had here at Anderson. I have a good foundation moving forward for that. We're going to be involved in the President's Conference, for example, for our industry, leading as the co-chairs of that conference.
Wow.
And it's because we have this vast experience and education now that we're able to speak with an educated voice to the issues that other printers are facing. And I wouldn't have had that confidence before. I wouldn't have been settled in the fact that I do have a voice and I do have something to say. Another thing that is becoming more of a passion is realizing that, particularly in manufacturing as I am, I call myself an accidental feminist. So I'm quite a traditional person, but as I lead more in the industry and in our company, I realize that there are some lingering biases that I had never felt before. I just had to experience it in my own life before, but now it's still there. And so for me, figuring out moving forward, how do I appreciate the way that has been paved by those who have gone before me, but also help the future generation come in and have less struggle than what I even have. So anyway, and I think my education and experience with different professors here, both of those have really helped me start exploring that, start knowing even where to look for the research on that, and have a really educated viewpoint to share.
And any, you know, just sort of as a category, because, you know, most of our students are employed. Any sort of pitch for being the owner, you know, it's kind of scary for a lot of people, but I know a lot of our listeners are going that way. You know, a lot of people are going to return to their home country. Mm-hmm. They're going to take their nest egg and their experience set from America. They're going to go back and dovetail back into their family business back in another country, or they're going to do it here in America. Anything about...
I mean, there's something exciting to us entrepreneurs about the risk.
Mm-hmm.
Take the risk. Mm-hmm. Do it. You know, we've learned about a lot of business leaders who have stumbled and failed even a little bit, and that may be part of it. And download your slides, keep them handy, refer back. But we also have such a great network. So when things don't look quite right, we have advisors and our own classmates, and we have access to the faculty. So if we, you know, need help making a risky decision, or need help navigating how to work with my 80-year-old dad who won't retire, for example, you know, how do I do that? We have access to the faculty and we can ask questions. So I feel confident about encouraging everyone, if you're thinking about it, definitely explore it with the kind of scaffolding that you received here at Anderson. And knowing that you have kind of a safety net of lots of people in the network to ask.
That's great. My wife incorporated her business in 2009, and it was a ride, but it's, you know, but as a family who's committed to both, you know, having a professional presence and, you know, being participating parents, mm-hmm. it gives us a lot more leeway. Well, anything else about sort of looking forward with your company, or any other of the kind of just the connection of the education into the delivery of your professional commitment? I mean, that's amazing. The President's Conference, you know, for printers, mm-hmm. and you guys have acquired one, and you're thinking about another. And
we really can do more than we think.
Mm.
We really can. Just trying to improve things, as Professor Ullman says, just on the margins. You know, do what you're already doing and then see if you can make it a little bit better on the margins. I think that has really served me well professionally, you know. And now I'm finishing up the academic MBA, but now ready to apply more and more of what I've learned here. So it's continuous improvement, maybe, in a personal way.
Yeah.
On the margins, improve, make it a little bit better step by step.
Oh, you quote Professor Ullman. I love, he's a very wise man. Let's kind of start, as we start to wrap up, any other shout outs? So any favorite faculty who you'd like to mention, or peers you want to say thank you to, or just anybody who kind of was part of your village, the village that has created you as an almost 5 days away FEMBA graduate?
Yeah, I mean, I've mentioned several of the professors already. I want to really mention the staff. Mm. Of all things, you know, we are very well supported by the staff here in the FEMBA program. They do a lot, and they understand that we're stressed and distracted, and they've sent an email, and they've sent another email, and we still haven't found it, and we still have a question, and they're very kind and joyful about helping us, not even just friendly, but even joyful about it. So I really appreciate the FEMBA staff. I haven't had a bad experience with a faculty member, so I would recommend all of them. That's such a broad
And you didn't just take 20, you took 20 plus 3 bonus. Okay,
right? That's, and so when, I love I that. I think, you know, as an incoming student, a Facebook page will be set up for your year. And that's a great resource for finding out, okay, has anyone ever had this professor or that professor? And you find out kind of the pros and cons. And there's a very good survey program in place, so you can read up on all the professors you may be considering. I would recommend that. It's a very personal decision. And so, you know, any of the faculty I've had, I would recommend. As far as classmates, again, I mean, everyone, you just look around and you think, this is a broad base of very wonderful, brilliant people. Mm. So, of course, you know, we joke about the term femme besties.
Femme besties. I had not heard that till I became a podcastee.
So, you know, there is that handful of femme besties that, you know, we traveled through happy hours and finals and studying and frustrations together and victories. And so I do have those. But, you know, by the end of the program, we see each other across campus and think, oh, we're in the same section. And it's just this instant kinship, you know, just friendship. So I can't really name one over the other.
No, but, okay, yeah, not to play favorites.
My gap team, of course, we became very close because we're just working together closely for 6 months and even traveling together. And yeah.
Fantastic. Well, that's, yeah, we talk about, you know, it's like an annuity that grows in value because your career is going to expand and so are the careers of all your classmates. And yeah, it's instant access to not just the right answer because you know all these amazing smart people, but really, yeah, that because we're all going to have our professional ups and downs and it's great to have people that you can, okay, I'm a little stressed or whatever, you know, none of us do life by ourselves. Well, any last, you know, if I knew then what I know now, any last words of wisdom you want to leave with our listeners today?
Do it. Just jump in. Just do it.
Do it. Just do it.
That's what I really have done. And the song I Lived by One Republic, that's kind of my little grad school theme song.
Nice. If I had to choose get a theme song. I love that.
If I had to choose one, yeah. Just, I tried to make the most of every opportunity where I could get involved. I tried to do so where I could spend some time talking to a classmate or a professor or a staff member. I tried to do so, and I don't regret that at all. I would recommend it highly, just to have no regrets. Mm. And I really feel I'm finishing the program with no regrets and with a lot of victories and wins and good memories. So I would recommend the same for everyone else.
Just jump in. Just do it. I love it. I love it. And get a theme song. That's awesome. Everybody should have a theme song. You know, you play it when you walk into class. Da, 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 da. Well, today, my very special guest has been Amy Miller. She is the owner and CEO of Lester Lithograph / The Castle Press, soon to be expanding yet again. She's walking out of here with a certificate in global management and an expanded company and three of her kids through college, one left. You're about to go see your daughter in Korea and has been a global traveler, as you have heard. So I hope you've enjoyed this conversation as much as I have. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Amy, for being here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
All right. Until we meet again. Thanks, everyone.